I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to two places. The first passage is in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 20, please, and verse 1. I want to thank Wesley for his kind words of welcome and your pastor for his invitation to preach the word this evening again. It's a joy to be with you. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I have with me tonight a little booklet entitled Journey into Life. And if God has been speaking to you in recent days, and maybe the Lord will speak to you tonight, and you're concerned about your soul, then do ask me for one of these little booklets as you leave this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and the verse 1. And David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And then over to Luke 16, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and we're reading at the verse 19. I want to talk to you tonight on a very solemn subject, 5 minutes after I die. 5 minutes after I die. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. If we really took them seriously tonight, there's no room in this church that would contain the amount of believers who would be coming crying to God for their family and for their loved ones. The problem is, as believers, they only touch our mind. They don't seem to penetrate our hearts, because if they touched our heart, and if we really believed in the reality of hell tonight, we would be in the place of prayer. Luke 16 and the verse 19. Remember, this is the Savior speaking. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." What a picture. There's one brother in hell, and there's 5 brothers on the road to hell. Abraham saith unto them, verse 29, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one that went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto them, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." 5 minutes after I die. On Wednesday night, the 17th of July, 1996, at 8:19 p.m., TWA Flight 800 took off from JF Kennedy International Airport in New York on a flight to Paris. On board were 230 passengers on their way to a dream holiday. However,
At 8:48 p.m., the plane fell off the radar screen and plunged into the Atlantic Ocean, and all 230 passengers fell to their tragic death. On board was a mother and her son getting ready for their vacation. Another were a couple who had been married for 50 years. There were also 16 students from a high school in Pennsylvania, members of a French club, going on their first international field trip. No doubt they all boarded that plane in great excitement, in anticipation, fulfilling a lifelong dream. However, in a matter of seconds, all passed from time into eternity. The question is this: where were they 5 minutes after they died? King Philip of Macedon charged one of his servants with a unique responsibility. The king instructed his servant to awaken him every morning with these words: "Sire, remember that you must die." Indeed, tonight we can personalize it, and we could say with David, "There is but a step between me and death." Do you realize, my dear friend, that that is so true? Death is only a heartbeat away. It's only a step away. It's only a breath away. Put your hand upon your heart tonight. I wonder, do you feel that little heartbeat? That is all that is between you and death. There is but a step between me and death. Someone has said every preacher ought to preach as a dying man to dying men and women. This may be the last message that I will ever preach, but I want to tell you tonight, it could be the last message that you will ever hear. What about your dying moment? What will happen 5 minutes after you die? Well, if you die without Christ, you'll be in hell. You say, "Preacher, tonight, I don't believe in hell." You will 5 minutes after you die. American cable television billionaire Ted Turner lashed out at Christianity. Turner told the Dallas Morning News some time ago, he said, "Christianity is a religion of losers. I don't want anyone to die for me. I've had a few girlfriends, I've had a few drinks, and if that is going to put me into hell, so be it." I want to tell you that Ted Turner will feel differently 5 minutes after he dies. Loved ones will weep or my silent face. Dear ones will glass me in sad embrace. Sadness and darkness will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Not to repair the good I lack. Fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No time to repent. No turning back. 5 minutes after I die. Made it forever with my chosen throng. Long is eternity, oh so long. Then woe is me if my soul is wrong. 5 minutes after I die. You know something? The most amazing time that you will spend, I believe, will be 5 minutes after you die. Can I suggest to you tonight that 5 minutes after you die, history will be over? That's the first thing that I want to impress upon you tonight. 5 minutes after you die, history will be over. Your history will be over. The English Oxford Dictionary defines history as all that is preserved of the past events, the past experiences of a person. That brings into play this rich man. Although he is unnamed, he's often been referred to as Dives, which is the Latin equivalent to describe the Greek for a rich man. Notice that our Lord tells us some things about this man. He talks about his wealth, God's goodness to him. Look at verse 19. The Bible says he was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. The word for clothed means he was habitually clothed. This man anticipated no end to his good fortune. He was not affected by the credit crunch. He dressed like a king. Purple was the color of royalty. Fine linen indicates the most expensive fabric that money can buy. He not only dressed like a king, he dined like a king. The Bible says he fared sumptuously. What that simply means is he lived it up. He had a banquet at every meal. He lived in luxury. He wallowed in wealth. He had everything that money could buy. If he were alive today, he would certainly have been in the lives of the rich and the famous. And when this rich man saw how much the Lord had blessed him with, it should have made him feel repentant. It should have made him feel humble, realizing that he didn't deserve such blessings. Do you know what the Bible says? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and not long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Dear unconverted friend tonight, have you ever paused to consider God's goodness to you? You know, Paul asks a question in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? The clothes that we wear, the car that we drive, the home that we live in, the food that we enjoy, the children that we love, the grandchildren we adore. Every good and perfect gift comes down from a bountiful God. God's goodness to you, God's blessing upon you, God's patience with you should lead you to repentance, but has it? Could it be tonight that the very goodness of God has caused you to harden your heart and even to think more of yourself? Think of this rich man. Think of his wealth, God's goodness to him. And then think of his witness, God's messenger to him. You see, the Lord used this man, Lazarus, as a witness to this rich man. Here was a man who sat at this rich man's gate, hoping to get a little food from his wealthy resident. It's obvious to me that Lazarus had been a witness to this rich man. For in hell do you call what this rich man pleaded? He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him Lazarus to my father's house. You say, why did this rich man make such a request? Because Lazarus had been a witness to this wealthy resident. Either through his language, through his lips, or through his lifestyle. Can you imagine the rich man passing Lazarus as he entered into the gates of his palatial home? Can you imagine Lazarus begging for a little bread? And then speaking to his wealthy neighbor of the bread of life. Can you see Lazarus as he speaks to his wealthy neighbor about his need of the Savior? I wonder tonight, dear unconverted friend, can you think of someone who has been a witness to you? Is there someone that comes to mind tonight? Someone in the workplace? Someone on the factory floor? Someone at the hospital station? Someone in the farm tonight? Someone in the family? Maybe someone that has brought you to this very meeting this evening? Someone who out of love for your soul has warned you to get off the road to hell and get on the road to heaven? Do you realize tonight that person is God's messenger to you? There was his wealth, God's goodness to him. There was his witness, God's messenger to him. And then there was his warning, God's voice to him. For look at verse 22, I read that the beggar died. And the context seems to indicate that Lazarus, whose name means in God I trust, died first. You know, when death is at a person's door, as it was at the rich man's door, it often causes a person to feel their need of Christ. But just as the life of Lazarus didn't concern him, the death of Lazarus did not disturb him. It seems this wealthy guy was unmoved as he thought about Lazarus going into eternity. I wonder, has death been God's voice to you in recent days? Death has claimed that loved one. Death has taken away that neighbor. Death has come suddenly to that work colleague. I wonder, has it caused you to think about your latter end? I wonder, have you ever asked the question, what if that had been me? I wonder, have you ever visualized your name on the brass plate of a coffin lid? Where would you be in eternity? I wonder, dear friend, tonight, has God been warning you? And yet, like this man, have you disregarded it? Death is a great leveler, is it not? For the Bible says, the rich man also died and was buried. Now, there's no question that he had a magnificent funeral. You know, when the rich people of that day died, they would hire mourners to cry over their coffin. They would hire people to give great eulogies, flowery speeches at their funerals. They would have their bodies embalmed with the most expensive spices that money could buy. But the bottom line is this, the rich man also died and was buried, for the finger of death plays no favors. Death eventually touches every one of us on the shoulder and says, it is time. You know, my dear friends, death is like the bite and the grip of a pit bulldog. Their bite is so strong, it's so fierce, that sometimes literally you have to break the jaw to release the grip. Is death not just like that? No matter how hard the doctor may try, no matter how hard the consultants may try, no matter how much money you may have, my dear friends, there is no way to lessen the grip of death. Indeed, do you know something tonight? One out of one die.
What about your dying moment? What will happen 5 minutes after you die?
You may be here tonight in Valley Baptist Church in Ballymena, and you may think tonight that being saved is not that big a deal, but I promise you tonight, at death, it's the deal of all eternity. 5 minutes after you die, history, your history will be over. But notice secondly, 5 minutes after you die, hell will be real. You say, Dennis, I don't believe in hell. You will 5 minutes after you die. A few years ago, a man brought forth his strong argument against the Bible's teaching on hell. He said, you know, I'm 70 years of age now, and I've never seen such a place as hell. After all that has been said about it, well, his little grandson of 7 years of age, he was standing by his side listening, and he said, Granda, have you ever been dead yet? You know, my dear friends, regardless of man's opinions, regardless of man's philosophies, regardless of man's objections, the Bible emphatically declares that hell is a real place filled with real people enduring real pain. You say, preacher, tonight, why do you believe in the reality of hell? I'll tell you why. Because our Lord Jesus does. The Son of God, who became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God, was a hellfire preacher. Did you know tonight that Christ spoke more about hell than any other subject? Here the Lord Jesus pulls no punches. He pulls aside the great curtain of eternity and he lets us see into the caverns of the damned. He tells us tonight, the Savior tells us, that hell is a place where there is physical misery. Immediately this rich man passed out of time into eternity. Verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He saw, he felt, he cried, he pleaded, he remembered, he was awake all right in the flames of hell.
Do you know who John Wesley was? He was the guy that founded the Methodist Church. Here's what Wesley said. Stick your finger in the flame. You cannot keep it. You cannot keep your finger there for 1 second. What will it be like to have the whole body and soul in the flames of hell forever? You see, there are physical miseries in hell. Did you notice that in this passage, 3 times the word torment is used? It says he lift up his eyes being in torment. He says, I am tormented in this flame. He talks about a place of torment. The Bible says the smoke of their torment ariseth forever, ascendeth forever and ever. My friend, I want to be faithful to your soul tonight. If you die without Christ, you'll see hell, you'll smell hell, you'll breathe hell, you'll hear hell, you'll feel hell. You know, the Bible uses different words to describe hell. But one word that is used repeatedly in the New Testament is the word fire. The Lord spoke about the place where the fire is not quenched. John spoke about the lake of fire. David spoke about fire and brimstone. One of the words translated hell in the New Testament is the Greek word Gehenna. It comes from a Greek word meaning the son of Hinnom. And Gehenna was a valley outside the city of Jerusalem. It was situated on the south side of Jerusalem. Originally it was a beautiful valley, but through time it became known as the Valley of Burning. It was here that the wicked King Ahaz sacrificed his children in the fire. And when Josiah came to the throne, he put a curse on that valley. And in the day of our Lord, it became known as Jerusalem's rubbish dump. My dear friends, when you approach that rubbish dump, you would always see its burning flames. Oh, can you visualize hell tonight? It's a place of never-ending torment. It's a place of ever-burning fire. I wonder, will this be your destiny? 5 minutes after you die, will you lift up your eyes in hell, being in torment? The Lord Jesus said concerning this place, it's a place of physical misery, but he said something else, it's a place of mental misery. One of the horrors of hell will be remembering what might have been had you responded to the call of the gospel. You see what Abraham says in verse 25, son, remember. My dear friends, the hell of memory. There's no Alzheimer's in hell. Everyone will have a crystal clear memory. A man once offered to teach another man the art of memory for $1,000. The man answered that he would give him $2,000 if he would teach him how to forget. I want to tell you tonight, in hell, you won't forget. Felix is in hell tonight. What do you think he's remembering? Felix. Felix, what are you recalling down there in the caverns of the damned? Oh, I remember the day that I trembled before Paul's preaching, but didn't trust the Savior. King Agrippa tonight, what is it that's gnawing you in the depths of hell? Oh, what's gnawing me is the day that I said to Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Judas tonight, you're in hell for more than 2,000 years. What is it that you're occupied with every second? The day that I betrayed the sinless, spotless Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. I wonder what you're going to remember, my dear friends, in that place of eternal darkness. I want to tell you tonight, in that place of eternal torment, you'll recall every message you heard. You'll recall every mission that you attended. You'll recall every service that you attended. You'll recall every Christian that spoke to you faithfully about your need of Jesus Christ. What will you remember personally? Maybe you'll remember a mother crying to God for your soul. Maybe you'll remember a godly father instructing you in the things of God. Maybe you'll remember a son's concern
and a daughter's concern for your soul. Maybe you're a member, a preacher, a pastor, God's servant in this place, tearing his soul out to get you off the road to hell and onto the road to heaven. Son, remember. It's a place of physical misery. It's a place of mental misery. The Lord Jesus says something else. It's a place of eternal misery. You know, my dear friends, once in hell, men are in hell for how long? Forever. See what Abraham says in verse 26? And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. There's literally a grand canyon between the lost and the saved that can never be crossed. There's a road that leads into hell, but there's no road that leads out of hell. And the road that leads into hell is a one-way dead-end street. And I want to tell you tonight, there'll be no missionary journeys to hell, and there'll be no vacation trips to heaven, and there's no such thing as purgatory, and there's no such thing as soul sleep, and there's no such thing as second chance. My dear friends, once you wake up in hell, you'll never say, I blew it. Lord, I change it right now. I repent of my sin and trust the Savior. It won't happen that way. Every flame of hell that will lick around you will send its flames forever. Every chain that will bind you in the pit of hell will have engraved upon it forever. Every imp of hell that will be hissing in your ear will cry forever, 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 for hell is a place of eternal miseries. Stories told of a young man going out to a dance one evening. His mother was a godly Christian. She would always set literature in the house for him. And she set this gospel tract on the hall table. And he lifted it, and he crumbled it, and he threw it on the ground, and he tramped his foot upon it. And he says, Mother, where can I go? Where can I go that no one will give me gospel literature? The mother, with the tears coursing down her cheeks, said, Son, in hell, no one will give you any gospel literature. No one will witness to you anymore. Do you know something, my friends, tonight? The Bible teaches the eternal security of the sinner. Do you realize, unconverted friend, tonight, there's no second chance after death. Once in hell forever. 5 minutes after you die, history will be over. Hell will be real. There's a final thought that I want you to notice here tonight. 5 minutes after you die, history will be over. Hell will be real. Hope will be gone. Someone has said that hopeless is the saddest word in the English language. And yet, if you leave this world without Christ, that will be your testimony throughout the countless ages of eternity. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. I say 5 minutes after you die, hope will be gone, for look at this rich man. There was no hope of alleviation. He was unsatisfied. You know what he wants Lazarus to do? He wants Lazarus to come and take a drop of water and put it upon his tongue in order to cool it. You see, he's unsatisfied. He has a thirst that could not be satisfied. And there is no way you could satisfy a man burning in a flame with a drop of water from the tip of your finger. I think that Christ is just letting us know there are unsatisfied customers in hell. During an interview on American television some years ago, a reporter asked a girl involved in punk rock. The reporter said to her, this poor reporter, the journalist said to her, he said, what are you looking forward to? She said, I'm looking forward to death. The journalist asked, why are you looking forward to death? She said, I want to die and go to hell so that I can fun.
I'm here tonight to tell you that hell is no fun. Nor will your deepest needs be met on a lost eternity. I want you to see that there was no hope of alleviation. He was unsatisfied. I want you to see that there was no hope of communication. He was unanswered. Isn't it interesting tonight that the rich man in hell became a sudden believer in prayer? Just a drop of water to cool his tongue. Just a word from Lazarus to his five brethren. But he got nothing that he asked for. For my dear friends, hell is a place where the answer to every prayer is no. You see, the Lord couldn't answer the prayer of this rich man because he had already sealed his own judgment. Death ends all opportunity for you to trust to Christ. Here was a man who prayed in the wrong place, prayed at the wrong time, prayed to the wrong person, prayed for the wrong thing. Unconverted friend, tonight your prayer will go unheeded if you wait until you die. The Bible says the time to pray is now. The Bible says the person to pray to is God. The Bible says the thing to pray for is God's salvation. Whosoever tonight, oh, it's so simple, dear friend. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as far as this rich man was concerned, there was no hope. No hope of alleviation. He was unsatisfied. No hope of communication. He was unanswered. No hope of salvation. He was unrepentant. Do you know why the rich man ended up in hell? Not because he was rich, but because he wouldn't repent. Do you know what repent is tonight? It's to do a U-turn on the road of life. It's going down the road and doing a U-turn and turning from your sin and placing your faith and confidence in Christ. Conversion is two sides of the one coin tonight. The one side is called repentance. I turn from my sin. The other side is faith. I place my trust in Jesus Christ. Have you repented tonight? Have you turned from your sin? Have you placed your confidence and hope in Jesus Christ? If you have, you'll never perish. You'll never be in hell. Two men were sitting in a restaurant one day. One got absolutely angry with the other man and said to him, "Go to hell." Christian was reading his Bible in the next booth. And he turned around and tapped this man on the shoulder and said, "Sir, I've been reading the directions. You don't have to go to hell if you don't want to." My friend, tonight, that's the message of the gospel. You don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. You see, the rich man had Moses and the prophets. In other words, he had the Word of God. And the Scriptures contain all that we need in order to be saved. The Scriptures reveal a Savior. And the Lord Jesus stepped out of glory and he climbed down that ladder of humiliation. And when he came to earth, he took that ladder and laid it upon his shoulder and he came to the very verge of hell and he lowered that ladder into the depths of hell and he put his foot on the hottest coal in the furnace of the fire and he endured the pain of hell that you might enjoy the pleasure of heaven. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Christ felt the forsakenness of hell on Calvary's cross. And then he cried, "It is finished." He came forth from that pit bleeding and broken, scarred and marred. But he came from the pit shouting, "Save them from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom." And in his hand he carried the ransom. And the ransom was his precious blood. I tell you tonight, through the blood of Christ, you can escape hell. Through that cross tonight there is pardon. Through that Savior tonight there is life. Through that blood tonight There is cleansing, the way of escape tonight. It's the way of suffering. It's the way of sacrifice. It's the way of substitution. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way for me. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Listen tonight, will you come to Calvary? Will you come to the cross? Will you receive the Savior? Will you repent of your sin? 5 minutes after you die, history will be over. Hell will be real. Hope will be gone. An old man was challenged by a young skeptic one day. This young fellow said to him, "Old man, where's hell?" The old man paused for a moment, and with a tear in his eye, he said, "Young man, hell is at the end of a Christless life. Without Christ, hell is just a beat away, a breath away, a step away, a split second away. And if you go to hell, it's against all that God has done to save you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. Jesus Christ died and rose again that you might live." Some years ago in London, there was an old nightclub that was called the Gates of Hell. A tourist on one occasion was looking for this nightclub called the Gates of Hell, and he searched and he searched and he searched, but he could not find it. Finally, he came down one street and he saw a man, and he asked him for directions, and this man knew exactly where it was. He proceeded to direct the traveller. He said, "Sir, go down this street one block, take a right. At the intersection, you'll come to a church called Calvary. And when you pass Calvary, you'll be at the gates of hell." My friends, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus went to a place called Calvary to die for your sins. He experienced hell that you might never have to. Come to Calvary tonight. And if you come to Calvary, you'll never come to the gates of hell. Marked forever with my chosen throng. Long is eternity, oh so long, then woe is me if my soul is wrong, 5 minutes after I die. Oh, what a fool, hard word but true. Passing the Savior with death in view, doing a due deed I can never undo, 5 minutes after I die. If I am flinging a fortune away, if I am wasting salvation's day, just as my sentence, my soul shall say, 5 minutes after I die, thanks be to Jesus for pardon free. He paid my debt on Calvary's tree. Heaven's gates will open for me 5 minutes after I die. Oh, marvelous grace that has rescued me. Oh, joyous moment when Jesus I see. Oh, happy day when like him I'll be 5 minutes after I die. God help you to choose your eternal state. Depends on your choice. You dare not wait. You must choose now. It will be too late. 5 minutes after you die. Let's pray. Let's just take a wee moment of quietness in the Lord's presence. Our meeting's almost over. But dear friend, you're here tonight. God in His providence has brought you into this place tonight. And you've heard His word. The preacher tonight is not Dennis Lyle. The preacher tonight is the Son of God. It's the Lord Jesus that has pulled back the curtain of time and give you a view into eternity and showed you that hell tonight is a place of physical misery, mental misery, eternal misery. And out of love for your soul, he sent his Son. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Tonight the Lord Jesus is pricking your conscience and he's prodding your heart. And you can come to him tonight. But it will be too late. 5 minutes after you die. God has spoken to your soul tonight and you'd like one of these gospel booklets at the door, please ask for one. If God has spoken to your soul tonight and you want to speak to me or some of the brethren, the elders here, we'd be happy to do that. We're in no rush from this building. Eternal issues are at stake. Your eternal welfare should be your chief concern, for it will be too late, 5 minutes after you die.